Welcome back. We're excited to get right into it, talking about the trade balance of Switzerland in comparison to import exports. Yes. And where it stands at, we've seen that Switzerland has a surplus of exporting versus importing. There, the difference between that right now is about $2.8 billion. Both those categories saw a reduction, so they both fell compared to last year, but still Switzerland maintained a surplus in terms of exports versus what they're importing.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it also makes sense that once you have this behavior of producing or generating a trade balance surplus, that you keep it. So exports decreased, but what was interesting is that imports decreased even further. And on the export side, we had, for example, or mainly pharmaceutical products and chemicals, which decreased, while on the import side, we had cars that decreased quite a bit.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting to see that in potentially strenuous economic times, the Swiss population, referring to the car, the decrease in car imports decreased. So the appetite for Switzerland for new cars actually decreased when we look at that number, which is quite interesting to see.
Yes. Especially since we don't build our own cars usually. So I think that the sentiment, as we have discussed in previous episodes about the consumer confidence, that it is rather low and that it does have an impact on the cars. And on top of that, you also have to be aware of that the quality of the cars who are on the road in Switzerland is rather high. So if you don't really need a car, you're not going to buy a new one because your existing car usually is pretty good.
Yeah, I think that's certainly something that stands out. We also saw the European area inflation numbers come out.
Yes.
Which was quite interesting to see that it was lower than expected at 2.8%. I think they were expecting it to be more around 3%, but still sliding in under that 3%. Which is quite interesting to see. And their core inflation rate, I think, was 3.3%.
Yeah.
And it slightly decreased, but not much, essentially stayed stable. So it's interesting to see that the European or the Euro area is actually lower at lower inflation levels than the US, which at their peak inflation levels, the Euro area was much higher than the US. I think they even breached 10%, over 10%.
Yeah, I think it was around 1% higher. I mean, it was not crazy, but it was quite a bit. And the interesting thing is that the inflation curve from the Euro area was behind the one of the US. So the US inflation spiked first and then the Euro area came in and even exceeded the level which we have seen with the US, but now has been much faster coming back. And I mean, with the headline inflation being at 2.8%, it's 0.3% better than in the US. And with the core inflation, it's even more. I think core inflation in the US, we discussed last time, was 3.9%. Against 3.3% is 0.6% difference. So it is kind of positive to see that. And it also shows how much of a difference the energy prices had. Because what is also very interesting is that energy prices in the Euro area are around the same level as they have been before the war breakout, even like between Russia and Ukraine. And so it did have a lot of impact on the inflation figures or inflation numbers and the development thereof, but now as well on the other side or the other side around.
Yeah. So that will be fascinating to see how it develops in the future. On top of that, so that we had the FOMC meeting minutes come out, as well as the ECB meeting minutes, that gives the average person a more of an inside look into what the conversations are of the central banks, of the Fed and the European Central Bank. Maybe you could just throw a bit of your insight of what we saw there.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to see that at both central banks, I mean, it's not a hidden thing that central banks discuss or speak to each other, but both central banks have a sentiment what they both agree on, that lowering interest rates too early is more of a risk to the economy and to the inflation development or evolvement then keeping interest rates higher for longer. And it's interesting to see how much of an impact it has on the markets, which is almost zero, as we have seen also. I mean, on Wednesday, the minutes came out from the US Central Bank. On Wednesday night, a big company, Nvidia, came out with their numbers, which were much better than what was anticipated. That's not a investment advice, but the reaction on the markets was that the NASDAQ 100 yesterday was up more than 3%, while the European markets are also holding up okay, but are not doing as great. And you also see that in a way that the European markets are much, much less and much more conservatively evaluated and priced than what is the case in the US.
I think that's a very substantial point. When we've been seeing some headlines of economists or evaluators talking about how European equities are so cheap right now.
Yeah.
And of course, you have to get into all the financials and do your calculations to really find out what each investment is. We're not saying just throw money into the markets, but it is an interesting picture to see the two markets and how they're driving in the same direction, stable, good, but one market is really accelerating quickly by certain companies that are pushing it really high.
Yeah, no, especially also the investors, and markets mainly move throughout expectations and forecasts. And if you are trading at a high level already, I mean, meeting this kind of expectations is much harder than it would be if a market which is more appropriately priced, I would say. And so, yeah, it will be interesting how the rest of the year goes, whether like the US market just continues this kind of performance and whether the European market stays at the level where it is or whether eventually it will pick up.
It'll be something to follow quite closely as we look to see, will there be a correction? Will the economies remain stable? I mean, you look at Europe with Germany, you know, going through a difficult time.
Yes.
And not every country having the same outcome. I mean, Italy had a pretty decent year last year, but there's certainly challenges. And so that will be quite fascinating to track and to see how, if the underlying economy is pushing that in any way, or if it's really just the markets themselves separated from the economies, and is it truly just the speculators? Not necessarily just speculators. Yeah. There's numbers involved as well, but what will be the outcome when we see mid-year come around and then moving forward?
Yeah, one interesting part, since you mentioned Germany, is that there were also some like results coming out this week that, even so Germany finds itself in a very challenging environment, that the outlook of the entrepreneurs, of like the boards and managements, become more positive again. And I think that is also encouraging in a way, that you think, okay, now we somehow reach the bottom maybe, while in another economy like the US, which still shows very strong numbers on like on the surface, there is much more risk involved that it will turn or move into the other direction.
Yeah, I think it'll be a great thing to look at, you know, for the potential of Germany moving forward. So thinking about next week, we are going to see CPI numbers coming out of Germany and the euro area as well.
Correct.
So that will be good to see, as well as China will release their manufacturing numbers.
Correct.
And what else were we looking at?
I think that's it.
Yeah.
I think this, oh no, we have the PC number producer. What is it?
Personal consumer expenditures. Yeah, the PCE
in the US
price index. Yeah.
Perfect.